The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stanbury, star of The Real Housewives of Dubai, entrepreneur, wife, and mother of three, once divorced and now remarried to a much younger man. Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury follows me as I live my life unapologetically and shows you that there is life after 40. I'm here to let you know that not only is there a life after divorce, but you have the power to make it your best one yet, just like I did. So buckle up and join me for the wild ride.
So welcome back to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored. And I'm very excited today to have Tamsin Fadel on. Tamsin is in her midlife. She is a menopause advocate. She has won 13 Emmys as a journalist, which I think is amazing. And she's starting her new chapter. Welcome, Tamsin.
Hi, great to see you.
How are you? This is very exciting for me because I'm 48 and I'm in my new chapter. And I think, and last week for the first time, I went to get my hormones checked because I don't know. So many women don't know if they're in menopause or when or how.
It's shocking, right? It's not a conversation we ever had. Like we knew we had the conversation about when you're going to get your period, got that. And then it just kind of, you know, we fall off the radar, right? After a certain amount of time, after, you know, women have children. And then what happens after 40, 45 years old? And so, yeah, it came as a shock to me too when I hit menopause. I hit it on the bathroom floor of the news studio. And that's when I was like, something's wrong. I need to go to the doctor.
I read that. You collapsed. Oh. Oh, God. After everything you've done, menopause was the thing that pushed you over the edge.
But so many people don't have that conversation. So I'm so glad. Did you learn something new about yourself? Did it feel empowering at least to have the knowledge?
I learned a lot. Well, I mean, I'm learning a lot. I'm still not there yet. So basically I wanted to find out because my husband is 19 years my junior and we're looking to have a baby. But, you know, my girlfriend who's also on the show, she's 43 on The Housewives. She called me this morning going, I'm feeling super hot. I don't know. Am I having menopause? So many of my friends don't know. We don't have really many hormone doctors out here. And the ones that you do sort of, we have to do very natural, holistic tests where you like pee on sticks and then it gets sent to Denmark or Belgium or something. How is this information not readily available to us all?
Isn't it crazy? What's shocking is, you know, it's like every woman, if you live long enough, is going to go through that. But it's not just when you hit menopause, like you're talking about, you know, those perimenopause symptoms are the big symptoms that you experience. So the friend that called you was probably felt like, do I have a fever? Do I have COVID? Am I getting sick? What is going on? When you get that kind of hot flash or flush, you don't know. It could be 100 other things. But then when you start getting brain fog and you start not being able to sleep at night, or you start doing the thing with your covers where you're putting your one leg out and one leg in and one leg out, those are those symptoms that make you feel like something's going on with you. And the fact that we've not talked about it because there's been so much shame around that is a sin to me, because we shouldn't be shameful of the fact that we're getting older or shameful of the fact that we've gotten to this place in time where we're in perimenopause or menopause. And by the way, perimenopause can last for up to 7 to 10 years.
Well, there you go. I mean, I think it's amazing anyway that, you know, when I went to go and do IVF, they said, I'm going to have a geriatric pregnancy. I mean, how insulting is that? And those words, it's so rude.
Right.
And on top of it, I'm there with my young husband who's having to listen to them to my face, call me geriatric. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the medical profession. And also today we're dying way, way later. As we're in midlife. We're not dying. So why are we written off? Men are silver foxes and they're just getting going. And we are at the end of our lives to everybody. But I think that's changing.
I do. Listen, fabulous women like yourself, women that are willing to, you know, speak out and talk about it and not be ashamed and say, look, I'm not accepting the fact that like I'm invisible or I don't have any sex appeal or my life is over at this age. And, you know, when you talk about midlife 10 years ago, I don't know that we would have said 48, 50 is midlife, but now it actually is midlife. I mean, people are living so much longer. My dad is 84 years old and he is working out 3 times a week, taking up hobbies, traveling, cooking for him. You know, life has changed very quickly, I think, as a matter of fact, you know, sadly, the pandemic woke us all up and said, like, you better pay attention to what's going on health-wise, because I see such an emphasis on health now. And I'm happy for that, if there's anything good that came out of that. But, you know, you're right. The sexism has not changed. The ageism has not changed. But we're making little steps toward improvement.
I really think we are. I think the more you speak about all of these things, that's why I am a big anything that I do, everyone's like, why do you make it so public? Like, I had a facelift. They're like, you know, oh, did I do that for, you know, everybody to give me likes or to talk about me? No, I didn't do it because why should it for that? I did it because I couldn't find the information myself, right? I wanted to see women like me before and after, not like really, really old women that have walked in, you know, when their face is by their feet and have a facelift. You know, I wanted to know what it was really like. And there weren't, the information wasn't there really. And people didn't talk about it. Kat Sadler did. And it's like this, it's like IVF at my age. It's like all of these things I'm talking about because I think it's so important. How can women who go through menopause, the whole human race, not know?
Go through menopause and stay in menopause. You understand, like once you hit it, you're in it for life. So it's not like it just
See, I didn't even know that. Isn't that? I didn't know that.
I'm breaking news to you left and right. But what happens when menopause is just one day, it's one day, 24 hours after you haven't had your period for 12 months. So that's basically what, you know, that's in a nutshell, a doctor can give it to you much more sophisticated than I am, but that's what menopause is. That's that one day. After that, anytime after that is postmenopause. So you're menopause, you know, postmenopausal for the rest of your life. That doesn't mean you're going to have symptoms forever. Some women, they start to dissipate. A lot of women, what you start to feel is that happiness curve, your brain fog, you know, lifts, you're feeling a lot better on the other side of it. But there are parts of menopause that you have to pay attention to because that lack of estrogen can be a real problem when it's, when we talk about heart disease, when we talk about osteoporosis, when we talk about dementia. So it's very important that we know about this part of our life, not panic about it, but know about it so we can make sure that, you know, post-menopause, we're in a healthier place. And I want to say something to you. Thank you for talking about this stuff because you give other women permission to be able to do that and not feel shame. And we have to lift that shame and stigma.
We do. I'm shocked people don't want to talk about these things. And I can't understand why, because do you think it's because they feel like it's giving in? Like if they talk about it, it means that they're old or they just, you know, women have such a thing about their age. I literally walk around jumping around going, I'm 48 and my husband's 29. What is he? 29. You know, like I don't care. Like I'd rather look amazing for 48 than, you know, shit for 30, whatever.
I think they don't talk about it because in society, there is still such a stigma on age. And I think there's still such a fear of we hit it, women of a certain age, and I'm doing that in air quotes if you're just listening, but women of a certain age are not as relevant or become invisible or their best years are behind them or they're, you know, they're in a place where no one's going to look at them anymore and they're not turning heads. But I don't see that when I look out there. I feel very encouraged and excited. I look at a woman like you and I'm like, she's gorgeous. She's just got it going on. And I also think what comes with this age is a lot of life experience. You and I have both had it. Gone through a lot of different things. And I think that there is a sexiness to that wisdom, a real sexiness.
I'm looking at you. You're 53 years old. Your hair is perfect. Your makeup is like, you look very sexy. You've won 13 Emmys for news journalism, which I mean, I could probably talk to you for hours about. You know, men love that. They soak that up. This kind of information and the life that you have led, no 20-year-old is ever going to be able to give anyone. I mean, very rarely any woman's going to have the insight into what you've been through and come out the other side of. No man either, by the way. And that's, yeah, true. Like, you know, going into war zones is no joke and looking the way you do and coming out the other side. And these kind of things you should be honored. Any man should feel like he got the prize. He got the prize. Right. Like, why is a wrinkle or two or our number age such a big deal still? I really find it hard to fathom.
You know what makes me mad? I do too. And I think your man got the prize, by the way. So congratulations to him on that end. I think that what bothers me so much that I've noticed lately is things like this. She's not wearing makeup. She's gone free of her makeup. oh, she did. Shame on her. You know, we make such a big deal out of it. Or, you know, what a woman looks like after this age. Women are looking better than ever. They go into this different mode, I think, of really understanding, you know, who they are, right? What they want. And they're not apologizing for it anymore. And I think that the more that we can teach that message to each other, because I think we need to reinforce each other because we're the only ones, this is the kind of the generation that has done that, right? And then to teach the women that are coming up behind us, our daughters, our sisters, our, you know, people that are coming up behind us, that it's okay. And I'm hopeful that our voices are the kind of the first area of this generation. So if someone looks at us in 20 years, they're like, oh, they were talking about that back then and they made it all okay. And there wasn't such this, you know, I don't know that there's another word for stigma, but there wasn't just kind of this mark on people where they just seemed like, you know, old next, her youth is gone. So she doesn't matter anymore. Cause that's far from the case.
Let's take a little break from the show and talk about, well, relationship doubts that feel totally overwhelming. No matter what you try, you can't seem to work through them. Maybe you're constantly asking your partner for reassurance or trying to reassure yourself, but the distressing questions about your compatibility, your connection, your attraction to each other just simply won't go away. Did you know this could be a type of OCD called relationship OCD or ROCD? So many people accept these behaviors as things that sort of just happen to everyone in every relationship and just brush it off as overthinking, but they shouldn't. NoCD provides effective, affordable, and convenient virtual OCD therapy that can help you feel more secure in your relationship and can help in other areas of your life too. With NoCD, you can do live face-to-face video sessions with a licensed therapist trained in exposure and response prevention, ERP therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD. NoCD accepts many major insurance plans to make treatment more affordable, and you're supported between therapy sessions with a 24/7 therapist. To learn more about NoCD, go to nocd.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. Go to nocd.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. Let's get back to the show.
Are you single and struggling with dating or in a long-term relationship and want to take that next step? Or maybe you've been together with your partner forever and you want to spice things up. We Met at Acme is a dating podcast for you, and I really hope you come check it out. I'm Lindsay Metzeler, and we have so much to talk about together. So check out We Met at Acme wherever you listen to podcasts, and I can't wait to meet you.
I think, you know, nothing like other, well, nobody like other women bring other women down. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you're the first to talk about things, it gets so misrepresented. I get it all the time. I'm not doing things just to become more famous or to get my name out there. I'm doing them because I genuinely want them to change, and I genuinely don't understand things are the way they are. Why can't you talk about if you've had a miscarriage? Why can't you talk about if you've had an abortion at one time in your life? Why can't you talk about any of these things that are to do with ourselves? You know, why? Why are they such a taboo subject still today? And we're made to feel terrible for saying these things out loud. Why should I come out of a hospital and, you know, lie to people that this is what 48 looks like without help? That right. would make them feel better. I mean, I think that's ridiculous when you see these famous people sort of having hidden for a month and they come out looking like they're 12, and we're meant to go, oh, look, she's amazing, because she just, you know, that's what famous people look like, that they've come from another planet. It's not true.
She drank more water. She added, yes. She has a better diet now. Look what happened.
She's got a laser machine.
I heard from a woman yesterday on Instagram, and it's kind of stuck with me. And she said, you know, I'm 50, but I'm not feeling fabulous right now. And I don't know what to do about that. And I think that those are the women that we want to talk to, because we want them to feel like that. We want them to see what it looks like, because not everybody feels that way, right? Not everybody feels like they get into this spot because they've been so ingrained that like, oh, once you get there, I mean, you know what it's like when I turn 50, it's going to be, oh gosh, how did I get to be this age? So I do think starting at a younger age, we have to make this time look fabulous and inspiring and something to look forward to, not to dread. And I do think that for such a long time, women have left the workforce at this age, you know, thinking like they can't, you know. Here's the thing that comes with menopause. Menopause causes a lot of brain fog, right? And so when you've got brain fog like this, you can't always think straight. So women are in the workforce in the height of their careers, hiding not just their age, but hiding the symptoms that they're going through of menopause, and then trying to, you know, whatever, be a big executive, presenting, being on television, you know, being in the boardroom, being in charge. And so they tackle and they struggle with a lot of different things. We see a lot of women as a result of that, unfortunately, leave the workplace right now because they're not able to talk about that stuff, or don't even, forget not being able to talk about it, don't even know how to treat it because they don't know about it.
Well, brain fog is a classic example. I 100% have it. Sometimes I say the most stupid things, like so stupid that as they come out, you can't quite believe you said them. And then, you know, you're like, I can't remember the most simplest things, but then I run so many businesses and I'm quite successful. I don't know how I do it.
How is it happening?
Because, you know, on the other side, like, you know, I'm ridiculous. So I do feel that brain fog is something that women really, truly don't want to give into or don't talk about, because they feel like it means that you're, well, exactly, definitely growing older, but also a little dumb. It's got nothing to do with being dumb. It's just you simply you can't think at that time. It's like a brain overload. It's like, it's terrible. And, you know, it's like someone asks you a question in an interview and says, what's your name? And I genuinely can't remember for that minute. Genuinely. And then I'm going, you know, I forgot my own name. And it happens to everyone. Everyone.
And it's scary too, because, you know, a lot of women during this time are like, am I going crazy? Or is this dementia? What is going on with me? Because we haven't taught that, like, hey, around 40, 41, 42, you're going to start having a few of these symptoms. It's fine. Controllable. Some women go on birth control. Some women go on low doses of estrogen to replenish that estrogen that we've lost, that causes dryness all over and causes things like brain fog, causes things like hot flashes, causes whatever the 34 symptoms are of menopause. But I do think brain fog is one of the scariest of the symptoms. And I think it can be very debilitating if you're not aware of it and you don't know what's going on. And I had it myself. As a news anchor for years, I would have to ad lib, right? Just like you. You know, I had to talk off the cuff, say something semi-intelligent, you know, be able to respond in real time. And it was really tough for me, to a point where I was so tense. I thought, like, just let me get in and out of this on camera thing so I don't forget anything, because I would not be able to finish the sentences. I'd feel like myself trying to pull the rest of the words. And that's, your brain fog comes in a lot of different forms, but that was a really tough one to me. And so that's why there's the joke, like, why did I come into this room? Or what did I do with my keys? But it's not funny, because it's a real thing. And I think that really crushes a lot of confidence in women.
I mean, I definitely have it and still have it. I just did an interview right now for an English newspaper, which I've just had a panic attack over, because I always feel like, you know, when you just don't say the right thing, you're like, shit, I'm going to wake up to the worst. You know, they're always looking the worst thing. But, you know, at some point in your life, you just have to forgive yourself and just say, you know, we're all doing the best we can. You know, we all go through, at the same time, by the way, we're all in the middle of a midlife crisis too.
Yeah. And that.
Yeah. Did you have yours? I mean, they're click work.
Yeah. You know, I think what I had, I got remarried at 50 years old. So I've had my 50 was like kind of different, but I think in my mid 40s, I was in this like panic mode of, now what? What am I supposed to do next? What do I do next? Where am I supposed to go? Who am I? And I went through this kind of this whole questioning of identity and purpose and, you know, and looking at myself, like, I'm not faster, younger, skinnier, smart. You know, I went through all those things. And then I was like, what am I doing? I am wasting like kind of precious days. And, you know, I lost my mother at the age of 51. So 51 has always kind of been my, oh gosh, getting to 50. It's always scary. You know, when you lose a parent at a certain age, there's no roadmap after that. Right. No. So I think 45 is around when mine hit. And then I met my soon to be a husband at 47. And I was like, I don't know. Can you really like start over and have happiness? And then at 50, I got married, had a big wedding, wore a dress, all things that people were like, you're going to wear a dress and get, you're going to have a big wedding. Aren't you too old for that? And I thought, oh my gosh. And that's when I started hitting on those real critiques of age that really pissed me off. So I decided to lean full in against them because, you know, I've worked in an industry where youth was worshipped and I thought I was going to have it all together by, you know, whatever, 35 years old. And I really didn't, but at 50, I did. So kind of went from that crisis to, you know, whatever you want to call it, a calling. Some people call it a midlife calling.
I'm with you. A midlife will find yourself. Exactly. I think everyone asks those questions of themselves and they either become like healers or teachers or yogis. My way is my podcast, and I want to do, you know, I'm going to tour it at some point because I feel I want women like yourself, myself, that tell you just to pull up your socks. It's just possible. I'm having the best time of my life. And if you ask me to go back into my 20s, I'd tell you hell to the no. And
my 30s.
I'm loving it as it is right now. Loving it.
What do you think? I never know this. I always think what do women need to hear that, like the woman that reached out to me, what do they need to hear? I think they just need to keep seeing, you know, opportunity and possibility. I think that's a big deal. I think they need to see things that are possible because I didn't ever have any mentor roadmap to this age. Did you? I mean, we didn't have that.
We didn't have that. But I think the problem is when you're trailblazing and you're doing the possible, or you're making things that they feel and they've been taught aren't possible, then that also brings a lot of hate because,
it does.
People don't have maybe the same guts or they don't have the power to change it or they don't feel they do because everybody does have the power to change it. I've just been watching some other woman on Instagram now who felt the same way and she's just got up, left her husband, moved to Paris, she started a whole new life. And
I love that.
Yeah. There are so many stories out there from so many different types of women that it is possible. And I wish women would, instead of go back to the husband, you know, make it work, stick it out, you know, at menopause, you're meant to give up. You're not meant to wear makeup. You're meant to go and curl your hair. You look, you know, your hair's too young. Why are you dyeing it? You should have gray hair. All of these things. Why? I go to the school gates and I've always said, you can see a 48-year-old woman or you can see a 48-year-old woman. There are women that have not given up. Yeah. And there are women that are like, okay, well, that's it for me now. And those people die earlier.
Yeah, no, I know. And I also think this, I do get frustrated with the criticism of how anybody else conducts their life. I am fine if whatever you want to do, you do it your way. But if I want to do it my way, I don't want to be criticized for it. And I think sometimes when you're outspoken about that stuff, you just kind of become a lightning rod for it. However, I also think this, I just think there's this whole other community of people that are going, oh, maybe I can do that too. So for all the haters that you get, you know, I think if for every one hater, I feel like you get 10 people that feel inspired by it. And you might not hear from those people right away, but hopefully you're inciting some kind of change because I think it's so necessary. And this demographic is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's a demographic with more resources. You know, women have more resources. They're working longer. They're working in bigger positions. We're half the population. And so that's, you know, when you asked at the beginning, why are we not talking about it? I just don't think there have been a lot of people that stood up and said, we have to. I mean, there was a study that was done, and you've probably heard about it, but there was a study done in 2002 that scared women into saying, if you take hormones, you could get breast cancer. And so doctors stopped learning about it in medical school. So now doctors don't learn about it. Patients don't know about it. And women didn't talk about it. So you were shamed, you know, if you were going to be one of the women that was doing hormones. We've since found out much of that study has been walked back by different research studies out there. However, the fear of breast cancer is so overwhelming in all women that's all they heard. And so now we're in the process of playing catch up of 20 years trying to educate and teach and relearn all of that.
I'm big into hormones and biohacking as much as I can. Like, yeah. Big into it. It's not, you know, I've been to a hormone doctor. I'm taking GHK. I'm taking peptides. I'm taking testosterone, and I've never felt better. And that's what I keep trying to tell people, because obviously my husband gets these messages going, oh my God, she's going to get cancer. She's going to go get this. No, you're not. I'm doing hormone replacement. Not trying to train for some gym athletic, whatever, you know, bodybuilding game and going to get a beard. And I think that's what people haven't understood, because you're right. People aren't talking about it and they don't understand it. And the doctors aren't existing. The doctors are old doctors, old school. They've read a journal. They've read a study. It doesn't speed up cancer. You have to do all the tests. They work off your blood tests. And if you work with a hormone doctor, it can actually take away cancer or stop it or something. It doesn't speed it up.
No, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I've been very vocal about it, because I lost my mother to breast cancer. So when I went into the doctor, they didn't even talk to me about hormones initially. You know, we've come to find out that, you know, being a daughter of or a sister of somebody with breast cancer, that is not a contraindication. That does not mean you cannot do hormones. Everybody's different. Everybody has to talk to their doctor. But I did find a menopause specialist and went to them. And it took me a long time, you know, because I'd had that misinformation myself. And I had to do my own research. And I was determined as a journalist, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And that's kind of how my career pivot happened. You know, I just spent so much time in this world of women's health and advocacy and talking to doctors who were willing to speak out and are willing to talk about it. And I wound up going on hormone replacement therapy, now called menopausal hormone therapy, for estrogen and progesterone. And then I started about six months ago, testosterone, which, you know, women do not have their own version of testosterone. So we have to take a 1/10 of the amount of what a man takes, and it's, you know, it's a cream. And so, you know, I've really felt the change in that. I did that third because I was, you know, not so sure about what I wanted to see what everything was going to do, but I wound up needing that. I had no testosterone in my body. I had a very low, you know, libido. I had, you know, so many issues. And so, but I've, you know, you've got to be regulated. You've got to go to the doctor. You've got to check in. You've got to make sure that, you know, your levels are right. And so, no one teaches you any of that stuff. I thought you just, if you didn't have a problem, you didn't go to the doctor. And I've learned now that you have to be proactive in that. It has to be a partnership. It can't just be waiting to see what the doctor says.
Let's take a little break from the show and talk about AG1. I first gave AG1 a try because of my digestion, and I've never felt my best. I always feel bloated, tired, sluggish. My immune system was unsupported, and I've been stressed with just all the work that I have to do. But since drinking AG1 daily, I felt completely different. It doesn't just help with, you know, the energy levels. It's sort of the feeling of my daily health. I feel that my base levels are so much better. I have energy. I notice I feel relaxed. I can focus more. And that's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. You've all heard me bang on about my gut. I go to gut support clinics, all of these. So AG1 has just been exactly what I needed. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your base 9 health. So not only have I replaced my multivitamin with AG1, but I love that every scoop includes prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes for the gut, vitamin C and zinc to support my immune health, and so much more. I've recommended it to my friends and my family because, well, AG1 has a team of doctors and scientists. Even my parents tell me that they feel so much more energetic. It supports their gut health, their stress levels. I mean, AG1 has made my daily routine so much easier, and it's just one scoop in the morning. I either put it in water or just put it into my smoothie. And overall, I just have a new pep in my step. So if there's one product I have to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I'm excited to welcome them as my new partner. And if you want to take ownership today of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/uncut. That's drinkag1.com/uncut. Check it out. Let's get back to the show. I think a lot of times too, the medical profession, obviously, it's got to a place where, you know, there's not as much research into these things. There's very few trailblazing doctors that are changing the way we look at things. And, you know, also, I've got to be honest, a lot of these drugs that people are on for cancer and all of these things keep the medical profession going. So a lot of times they don't want to change what they're looking at because it's an industry, it's a business. It's like all of these things, sadly, that, you know, makes money and they want to bury their heads. Well, instead of looking at the real health of women and improving it and saying, you know, we can have a completely different quality of life when you look at your hormones. And it isn't cheap to do right now, that's for sure, because you do have to do it regulated with a doctor and as you go for regular blood tests to see where the levels are so that you don't put too much testosterone in your body and all of the above. But if you can afford it, it is so worth it. So worth mm-hmm. it. It's life changing mm-hmm. because you get another life.
Well, and I'm hopeful that we come to a place where this is going to be very standard, right? And very routine, because hormones technically aren't expensive to make and to create. Nope. And so I think what's frustrating is that I hate to see a lack of access and a lack of ability to be able to access even the doctors. There's a lot of these telehealth companies here in the US that are popping up. And I don't know about, you know, where else in the world, but I think it's going to be very good for people to be able to access somebody, even if it's online, to be able to talk to somebody about what they're going through. Because the most important thing, first of all, the base of it all is for women to be able to be educated and to get this information, be able to ask the question. Because if they don't know what to ask, they just don't know what they're going through. They think they're going crazy. They think there's something wrong with them. They think they're the only one and they're alone. And there's nothing worse than feeling like you're the only one going through something, because that's when you give up.
And they're really not. And that's my point. This is something that really, really needs speaking about. And since I started talking about going on all of these things myself, I literally have never received more letters and DMs and thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I have your doctor's number? And is there one available here in this country, in that country? And sadly, you know, obviously I don't have all that information. You need to sort of look into it yourselves wherever you are. But I mean, I'm guessing hormone doctors are available in each country. There must be their version of it. And it's, but the fact that people don't give talks about these things or don't tell women what is simply available. I had no idea a woman could take testosterone. None. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. No one's ever told me that before. And then I walked into my hormone doctor's office and he's like, how are you even like functioning? He goes, do you get this? Do you feel tired? Do you have any sex drive? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. you know, and then mm-hmm. he's like, you're on the tiniest piece of testosterone ever. Like, he's like, this is going to change your life. Even the skin.
Well, and it's funny because testosterone we think of as like, I talked about it online the first time and they were like, what are you trying to do? Like be a bodybuilder? Yeah. And I said, no, I'm trying to replace what my body had. Like women have testosterone. That's a thing. That's real. And so I think that's where we come back to all this misunderstanding. And so there are going to be people that don't like change, right? And there are going to be people that don't want to hear about this stuff. There are going to be people that think that like women's health things should stay to themselves, like keep that to yourself. But we can't afford to do that because you can see what's happening. We have got to talk about that. And the fact that women's health is so severely underfunded. And there's, you know, you said there's no research because there's no dollars that are being dumped into it. Nope. And this is that demographic. We need that. We're in this, you know, 40 on, there's not a big roadmap for what happens to women's bodies. And that is the most important time. You know, if you're in this demographic, you're 40, that's the most important time to start paying attention to that stuff, you know, because you're taken care of earlier.
How many women in their 40s get the spread? The midlife spread that you cannot get off.
And
that is one of the most debilitating things that women go through, because it's mm-hmm. not the body you knew or, you know, can mm-hmm. accept or love anymore. And we're all taught that we have to just love every stage of our bodies. But why?
Right.
Why do we have to love it and accept it? Because we've got a giant tire of fat around our bellies now that wasn't there before because of age. And that you don't have to give into it. You can, there is so many ways now, you know, healthily with hormones, by the way, you could adjust, your hormones just need adjusting. And sometimes that is what is holding the fat in places that you've never had it before. If it's your body shape and you're used to it, chapeau, that is absolutely fine. Everybody has a shape, but you know your shape. When things start popping up in the wrong places, that is where you can find out that certain foods aren't agreeing with you the right way anymore. You're not digesting the right way anymore. Things are bloating you, that hormone cycles, blood diets, all of these things can change you very, very quickly, but no one's telling us.
No. And it's interesting with weight gain, because that was one of the things that had started. I always wore these dresses that were like, you know, and I went, I'm feeling tight in a lot of this stuff. And so that was one of the big indications. And I thought, oh gosh, I must be eating poorly. I wasn't changing anything. I was like, I must be not working out right. I wasn't changing anything. My diet and my workout hadn't changed, but my body was starting to change. So then I had to adjust those things. So I moved from where I was doing cardio constantly to try to be skinny into weight training and strength training to be strong. And I've really focused on that ever since. It's like strong and protein and eating differently. Like I've had to eat differently, but I had to pay attention to it and not just give it that shrug like, oh, well, I guess this is what happens. Because I also understood the health issues that come with that. And health has been something that's been scary to me my whole life, you know, watching my mom and seeing what she went through. But you're right. And it is so debilitating to women, and a lot just say like, oh, that's what happens with age. But I just think if we know ahead of time a little bit to understand this is what will happen when estrogen falls off. This is what will happen when you have a depletion of testosterone. This is how you're going to feel. If we just have that, and we feel like we can start working towards something. But without that, you're just kind of in the dark, fumbling around, trying to figure it out on your own.
This is not about trying to stay skinny mini as we were when we were 18.
No, it's not
all.
Skinny.
It's about, you know, I found in the last 2 years or so, as I hit my mid-40s, I was getting like orange peel skin, and I was getting, you know, the back of my arms were like really, really water, like felt, they just, it wasn't me. And I hated it.
Yeah.
It's not that I want to be, you know, supermodel thin. I don't, but I wanted to be who I was. And I train 3 times a week. That's enough for me. I don't kill myself. I eat well. And as you said, I wasn't changing anything. So I understood that the hormones, and now that I'm on all the right hormones, my body has gone back. My stomach is flat. You know, all the things I hated that I've never had before are slowly going. My skin is the best it's ever been because my hormones are
just hydrated.
Yes.
Because it's hydrated.
Yes. You know,
yeah.
I feel great. And those things should be readily available. And I want everyone to know that you can be the best version of you, not me, not you, like the best version of who you want to be. That you don't need to give in to these things that are considered old age. I see 70-year-old women with, like, you know, bodies that I would die for.
I know. I do think, you know, for all the things that people complain about social media, there are some pretty inspirational things on there, because there's people I would never meet around the world, you know, but I look at some of these women and I go, oh my gosh, not only do they have the wisdom that goes along with it, but they've decided now it's their time to pay attention to themselves, right? Like we spend our whole lives paying attention to everybody else, helping everybody else, making sure everybody's okay, taking care of, being caretakers. And I think that what does the freedom that comes along with this age, right, is to be able to focus on ourselves a little bit more. And that's a big deal, because I don't think that women do that. They don't do that in early ages.
I
hope that they take advantage of it.
I love that you've just said that. I really, really love it. No one ever says that. I think my children are teenagers. It's not like I'm going to stop looking after them, but they can take care of themselves now.
Sure.
It is absolutely our time to shine. Absolutely the best time of our lives. And I feel fabulous. I may have looked younger and prettier back then, but I've never felt better as I do now. And I can see by your smile, you just got married. You're getting married in your 50s. Women need to understand that it's not over. This is just the beginning. You're starting a whole new life.
It's amazing. And I don't know about you, but when I go back and I think about my 25-year-old self, I could never have even envisioned this. If you gave me like three paths that I thought my life was going to take, I could never have envisioned it. I would have thought that like at 50, I didn't know what was going to happen, you know, but it is a beginning and it's a beginning that you want to be healthy for. That's the big deal. And I think that that's why I'm so happy you're talking about it, because you want to feel good. You don't want to just live long, right? You want to feel good when you're doing that. So you can enjoy whatever new things, whether it's a new baby, whether it's a new marriage, whether it's a new job, you know, a new job and a different career. You've got to do that where you've got that clarity and you're feeling good about yourself.
Well, you can't get new things. You can't get a new chapter and you can't get a new job unless you feel good about yourself. And that's just a fact. Mm-hmm. No one's going to hire someone that's miserable or looking miserable. You know, you've got to go in with the attitude, I can, not I can't. Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest things for women to just say, fuck it, I can do it. And you can do it at any age. You know, you really, really can. And it's such an exciting time because, as you said, this is the first time ever in history that 50-year-old women can start again. You know, really start again on their terms. On their terms.
Yeah, it's incredible. And they've got the resources to do it too. And they've got this group of women is pretty powerful. Like I say it sometimes and then I step back and I look and I'm like, oh, it really is. And everyone's kind of got a different voice in it all, right? But when it comes together, it's loud and it's exciting. And I do also think that for all the ways that women can take each other down, and we've both seen that, you know, quite a bit. There's a lot of people that are guilty for it. The ones that lift each other up, the ones that are not, you know, poking at each other and trying to find fault and criticizing to lift themselves up. That's a beautiful thing to see. It feels really good. It feels really good to have another woman that you reach out to and you say like, hey, it's me. I just need to like air this out or talk to me about this or help me through this moment. And I think as we get older and get into this age, I see more women doing that with each other with those tighter bonds.
And I love that. I really love that too. I think it's so, so important to have that and to teach women that we're not to be put against each other, that it's not some giant competition. But what I think is so amazing about yourself as well, girls, because so many people can't pivot or they can't change their, see how things are going to change. Well, they've had one career. Well, then where am I going? I don't know what I'm going to be now. And for a woman that has been in a war zone and won 13 Emmys being a news anchor, then to go into something so female and so the different, you know, this, you couldn't get more so female than talking about menopause and helping women, having worn,
I never thought of it like that.
Having worn combat boots in war zones. Like, I mean, in a million years, I don't imagine you saw that coming.
Oh, if you had told me that, I would have been like, what are you?
Ew,
you don't know. That's crazy. I don't know. It's funny that you put it like that, because I really never thought about it like that, but it's true. I was always like the tough girl, you know, because when you're in news and you're, you know, you never know where you're going. It's rough and tumble. And then when I started really going into this I just was deep diving and I couldn't get out of it. You know, like I kept like doing interviews and talking to people, because interviews are just where I learn. And then I said, like, somebody, how's it possible that 1 billion women around the world are going to be in menopause by the year 2025? That's the figure that went, 1 billion women and no one says anything. And so that was what started me down that path. So I started thinking, like, is it a book? Is it a film? Is it a news story? And when I went to the news, they were like, nobody wants to hear about menopause on TV. No one wants to talk about this. This is several years ago. And I said, but all these women, like, how do we not? And there's so many women doing amazing things. And they're like, so I said, well, I'm just doing it myself. So I jumped on social media. I started talking about it. And then there was this community of people like, you know, I want to talk about it, or here's what I know about it, or here's what I'm doing about it. And it was like, everybody was, I don't know. It was like, we were all so quiet about it at first. And so I left my job. It took me time. It wasn't a quick pivot, you know, but it took me time to say, you know what, this is what I'm supposed to do next. And I look, I don't know where it all goes, right? I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I know that talking about it is the first part. I have a documentary coming out at the end of this year on World Menopause Day called The M Factor, to talk about menopause, shredding the silence on menopause. And I have a book coming out next year. So I could never, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would be like, I don't know. I guess I'm going to just keep reading the news. Because that's really, you know, I couldn't see anything else.
I think that's, you know, a really, really important place where we can sign off. But just to say to women, just because you've spent your whole life in a certain area and you don't see yourself, or you don't think you have a skill in the other, another area, you'd be surprised. Because just from the wisdom and the living, we all have such a story to tell. And, you know, I never saw myself podcasting and, you know, doing Housewives and all the ridiculous stuff that I do either, but I may not be saving lives, or maybe in some times, but I do feel very powerful. And I don't know where I don't know where this is going either, but I don't think that far ahead. And I don't think it's important to. I think you just start. I think you put one foot inside the, you know, in front of the next. And somehow, as just like you, you create a community of women that are powerful women that want to create a movement that is change. And, you know, really, you're doing something so, so needed that, you know, you should be incredibly, incredibly proud of yourself. Thank you so much for today. I've learned a lot.
Well, thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything you're doing.
How do people find your book, you, and come and, you know, learn more with you on your menopause journey that we're all going on? I need to learn more from you.
Yes, I'll tell you anything. If you have questions, I'll give you my number at tamsinfidel.com or tamsinfidel on all social channels. So I kept it very easy.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored. Don't forget to rate and review. Thank you for listening. You can catch my new episode of my podcast every Wednesday. Please don't forget to follow so you don't miss any of the action. I want to hear from you, so leave me a rating and a review. Follow us on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information at Uncut and Uncensored by Caroline. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.